الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم، مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين، بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم، روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مفتحين. جزاك يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغ غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Speak in English?
Yes.
Inshallah. Before starting our talk proper, by way of introduction, one or two things. One is, we are very, very appreciative of the brothers of Oshakati, of this area. MashaAllah, with which warmth you have welcomed us, and that is only because of Iman and Islam, and for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And your reward, nobody else can give it to you but Allah. And really also the reward is not in this dunya, it will be in akhirah. Some commission Allah will give in this dunya also, but the real reward actually is by indallah. Ajrukum ala Allah. Is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You made us feel so welcome, and you made us feel so well. And mashallah, we feel that we are back in our hometown. Hafiz Bilal is our student, mashallah. We met him and we felt like we are back in our hometown. And mashallah, the beautiful recitation of Imam Sahib made us also feel so nice. Where, in which corner of the world, there is the miracle of Islam, that Allah kept the flame of Islam alive here. Azan take place, Jummah Salat, Taraweeh, Ramadan, Eid, etc. That's all the miracle of Allah Ta'ala and the great qurbani and sacrifice of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And then we don't only have Hafiz Bilal, we have our other students here also, mashallah. What's your name again? Mustaqeem. Yaqeen, mashallah, what a beautiful name. Allah grant us all istiqamah on our yaqeen, inshallah. And Brother Faisal, mashallah, where Allah brought him from Cape Town. And who built the masjid here first? Yes. And how long is, how old is the masjid?
25.
About 25 years, eh? Before that there were Muslims?
Yes, Jamaat.
Oh, there was.
There
were
no Muslims here.
No. So about 25, 30 years Muslims are here.
Yes.
And mashallah, adhan taking place, namaz, salat, Allah Ta'ala accept and increase all the time. That was one point that I wanted to mention. Also our friends from Bandhuk, mashallah, who made all our arrangements, especially Maulana Muhammad, and then all, mashallah, yeah, also all the facilities, all the arrangements. And making our trip to hold of Namibia, mashallah, they facilitated it. Allah reward them tremendously. And our heart gets so happy when I saw the masjid. Allahu Akbar, like we have come here to Jannah. It's our oasis in the desert. This is the real oasis. The other oasis is there on its place, but there is a real oasis in the desert.
in the desert of kufr and shirk, you have the spark and the light of iman burning. MashaAllah. Allah increase it and Allah accept us all. And let us all become strong in the work of deen. Whether it is establishment of makatib where our children learn Quran Sharif and the basis of deen, whether it is the work of tabligh and da'wah, whether it is the work of tazkiyah and islah to correct our lives, to get spiritually corrected, all this may Allah make it in coming to us and make it alive in the whole of Namibia, in the whole world, inshallah. And if our niyat is there, our reward will be according to that, inshallah. Secondly, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, used to say that always before bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sunnats are really the life wire of this ummah, by which Allah keeps the whole of deen alive, and the flavor and texture of deen is through the sunnats. And sunnats are such, like if you go to somebody's house, he gives you a cup of tea, but he doesn't give you sugar. You don't want to go for tea again. Yeah, but if the sugar also is there, very nice tea, you'll want to go second time, third time also. So if you have the deen but no sunnah, you won't enjoy them. Yeah, and people won't come to the deen. But if you got the deen and you got sunnah, sunnah is that magnet, is that attraction, is that beauty, that we will also enjoy deen and other people will also come into deen. And how many cases, just one instance comes to mind. One Tablighi Jamaat was in America very many years ago, very long story. And they were eating, and one Negro brother, also they met him, they invited him, "You also sit with us, you eat." So they sat down, and then while eating, he asked for water to drink. So they gave him water in a glass, he drank it. After a little while, one of the other brothers who needed to drink water, so he drank from the same glass. The Negro brother started crying profusely. They wondered, what did we do? Have we offended him? What have we done? Why is he so angry? Why is he crying like this? When they asked him, he said, "I'm married for so many years, and till today, my wife doesn't drink in the same glass I drink water. You people are total strangers to us. But you drink in that glass from which I drink. There's a sunnah. Today, unfortunately, we also have discarded the sunnah. For everyone, separate glass. For everyone, separate plate also. If we drink from one glass, there would be shifa. Shukrul mu'min, shifa. The leftover of a mu'min, there is shifa. And the other thing is, if we share our food in the same plate, or a big thali, a big tray, and we all sit together and eat, or we all drink from one glass, shifa also, and muhabbat, love is also created." Today, unfortunately, we find in the ummah at large, the whole of mankind, but even the ummah was supposed to guide the people, but we following their way, and then we also, their rotten results are coming in us also. We also all eating in separate plates, drink in separate glass at home also. So the result of that is that there isn't shifa. We find illnesses, diseases have increased so greatly. Even amongst the Muslims, bad, bad diseases are amongst the Muslims. If we eat from the same plate, there is shifa, cure for one another. And there is muhabbat. Today there isn't muhabbat between husband and wife. No love between husband and wife. Between parents and children they are fighting. Brothers and sisters are fighting. One of the major causes is that we are not sharing our food. So this is a sunnah also, that we should share our food, eat in the same plate, drink from the same glass. There is shifa in there, and there is muhabbat and love in there. And then we will see automatically the Muslim community will be united. Today, unfortunately, we are not united. Our hearts are split apart from each other. And all the enemy is doing, we make pieces of ourselves. The enemy is making tima, is making months out of us now. They didn't destroy us first, we destroyed ourselves. And they took advantage of this, and they are destroying us further. So anyway, sunnahs are a great magnetic force by which deen will come into our lives.
To give you an example, it's not a long time ago, and we all must be remembering the time when we used to buy rice, we knew there were pieces of stone also in the rice. And there were pieces of grass, streaks also. And we bought that stones at the price of rice. We don't want stones, but the stones are worth the rice. We paid the price of rice for the stones. And stones are heavy, rice is very light. And we paid the price of rice for the twigs, pieces of grass also. After we bought it, 1 kilo, 5 kilos, 10 kilos, whatever it might be, we looked after it also. From sunshine, from rain, from some animals might eat it up, somebody might steal it. We looked after it. We looked after the stones also. And we looked after the twigs also. But when the house lady said, and for a long time they used to shake it and take out all the stones and all the grass, now the rice is clean. And all the stones and pieces of twigs and grass, they threw it outside. Now nobody will pay the price of rice for the stones which are lying outside. Nobody will pay the price of rice for the twigs which are lying outside. Nobody will look after it. Now the dogs are urinating on it. People are walking and trampling on the stones and on the grass. Nobody is watching. Exactly like that. As long as we were attached with sunnahs, Allah looked after us at the price of sunnahs. As we look after the rice, and the stones with the rice, when they are joined, when they are with the rice, we look up, we buy it, we pay for it, the price of rice. We look after it as rice we look after. But when we, and nobody separated us, the stones from the rice and the grass, the house ladies when they sat and cleaned, they separated it. We separated ourselves from the sunnah. And when we separated ourselves, and now we are like thrown outside. So today the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they trample on us. What is happening in Iraq, in Syria? What is happening in Afghanistan, in Palestine? The whole world, what is happening? Muslims got no say. There is no Muslim that is coming to the help of another Muslim. All this is happening. And the cause of it, and our protector, we can't look after ourselves. How, where are we going to look after somebody else? Our protector is only one, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah loves the sunnah so much. If we will bring that sunnah into our lives, we are like stones. And we are like thorns and pieces of grass. But if we have got connection with sunnah, the connection with sunnah, Allah will look after us as He looks after the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah will protect us and give us honor as He gives honor to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So may Allah make, may we come to understand this, and try and think of this, the value of sunnah. And then whatever is possible, there are many sunnahs from the morning till the night, which are practical, which are easy. For example, you get up in the morning, what is it difficult to say? Alhamdulillah illadhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. And if we can't, we don't know the whole dua, learn it. And till we learn it, at least just say Alhamdulillah. When we woke up in the morning, what a great thing. When we go to the toilet, read the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khabaith. Well, it's not difficult. And if we don't know, just read a'udhu billah and enter the toilet. Enter with the left leg. One sunnah has got this magnetic force that it will not bring only all the sunnahs, but even our farais, what are faras upon us, will come alive. Our aqidah, our beliefs will become correct. Today many of us, what is, the enemy is making a great effort to destroy and distort our aqidah, also our beliefs. And they are putting wrong beliefs, especially in our youth, at universities, at schools, at these places, over the or social media, on the TV, evil things they are spreading. And all this is because we have separated ourselves from sunnah. So only do one thing, try and bring sunnahs into our lives. Well, we try, inshallah. From morning to night, there are sunnahs to be practiced. From the time we are born till the time we die, there are sunnahs to be practiced. And they are practical, and they are easy, they are not difficult. Just bring them into our lives. I mentioned, for example, the sunnah of
that share water from the same glass, each try and eat from the same plate, even if two people eat from one plate, try and bring the sunnahs alive. Allah give us tawfiq. The subject that has come to my mind is a very, very important subject. And I would appeal to everyone to listen to it very carefully, not just that one bayan took place and bayan is finished. But take it like a lesson, like an important lesson that we have to learn. And listen to every point very, very clearly. In this, there are few things that I will discuss, inshallah, but try and pay attention and try and give it your thought afterwards. Think of it also afterwards. And listen also with the niyat of making amal, that Allah give us the tawfiq to practice upon. So the ayat that I recited, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna deena inda Allah Islam. Deen by Allah Ta'ala is Islam. That's the translation of the ayat. But how I translated it, it's not a translation. Because I use the same word deen. Deen is not an English word. Deen is an Arabic word, it's a word of the Quran. So what will be the translation of deen? Can anyone tell me?
Religion.
We know. What is it? Don't be shy. Say?
Religion.
Religion is correct. And there is another translation also.
Lifestyle.
Way of life. What the enemies want us to believe and accept, that the religion by Allah which is accepted is Islam, which is correct. But they are limiting us. What does that mean really if we take that meaning, if we take that meaning? Like just say, youngsters are playing a football match, soccer. Now time for worship comes, ibadah. So the Muslims will go to the masjid to worship. Christians will go to the church to worship. The Jews will go to the synagogue. Hindus will go to the temple. But when they play, then they play all the same. They dress the same. The rules are the same. So in other words, your religion is a private affair. You want to practice your religion, we are not stopping you. But you don't practice it on a sports ground. You must practice it, go to the masjid and practice. The Hindu must go to the temple. Christian must go to the church and practice it. But if we, and the correct translation, the proper full translation, in Nadina, your lifestyle is Islam. So even if you're on the sports ground, you have to dress like a Muslim. You have to, if it's salat time, you have to make your salat there on time. You can't go and make it qada afterwards. There you must your zohar, you must your asr. And afterwards you go and make it qada. No, your lifestyle is Islam. For example, there are politicians in a parliament. There are Hindus also, Christians also, Muslims also, Jews also. But when you are in parliament, then you run your country according to democracy, Western democracy. Your own worship you want to do, we are not stopping you. You must go and worship in the masjid. You want halal food, we won't stop you. We will arrange halal food for you. But, you eat the halal food on the table as everyone else is eating. You don't eat it as your lifestyle, the sunnah way of life. That they don't want. So this is the way to understand that our deen is not only a religion, but it is a complete lifestyle, a complete way of life, which Hazrat Huzaifah ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were eating on the dasturkhan with non-Muslims and Islam was spreading like wildfire, country after country was coming under Islamic rule and they were negotiating the transfer of power to the Muslims. They had discussions in that they were having one meal also. In that meal, one morsel of food, one luqma, fell out of the plate. Hazrat Huzaifah ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, without a second thought, sunnah was their nature, not their second nature. It was their nature to practice on sunnah. He picked it up, cleaned it, and he ate it. His attendant, Khadim, who was serving him, whispered in his ear and told him, these are very, very sophisticated people, people of Rome, people of Persia. They are big, sophisticated people. Don't do this, they won't like this. There is not good culture in front of them. Immediately, without a second thought, at the top of his voice, he said, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِ لِهَاؤُلَىٰ الْخُمَقَىٰ. Must I give up the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my beloved, for these stupid ignorant people who don't even recognize Allah, who don't know about life of akhirat? يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَلِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They are totally ignorant of the life of the akhirat. For the, such type of people, I must give up the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people and a nation whom Allah has given honor through Islam. Our honor is not through our businesses. Our honor is not through our professions. Our honor is for a Muslim. It's not through all the type of cars that we drive or the type of houses that we live in. Our honor is Islam. If we have got Islam in us, then Allah will give us honor and it will be shown in the world. If we see Muslims haven't got that respect and honor in the world, we should be very worried that isn't it perhaps that I haven't got Islam in my life. I've just seen little children, 5-6 year old toddlers, they go to pre-primary, they go to preschool, and all the different types of schooling, and in that process, they give them pictures of lions, of animals, lions also, to color in. Now that little child, 4-5 year old child, colors in the picture of a lion. And then he's a small child, playful. So he takes, for example, a scissor, and he cuts the tail of the lion. He says, see how brave I am. I even cut the tail of the lion can't do me anything. He takes a knife and he pushes it in the eyes of the lion. See how brave I am. I'm a strong man. I'm a mu'min. I've got Islam. I'm powerful. But it's a picture. What can a picture do? Very sadly, most of us today in the world, we are picture Muslims. And that is why the enemies of Islam are doing with us just what they want to. They are making Muslim kill Muslim and call it jihad. They are making Muslim men rape Muslim woman and they call it jihad. They are making a fool and a mockery out of us completely because we are just like paper Muslims. We are not that real Muslims. One is a lion in a zoo. And in the zoo, you go with the family sometimes, you go and see all the animals and you see written by the lion, he's in his cage, that don't interfere with the lion. Don't throw stones at the lion. Don't poke sticks at the lion. But the small children, they want to show how brave they are. They pick up stones, they throw it. See how brave I am. I'm just 5-6 meters away from the lion. What can the lion do? But the lion is in a cage. What can? Unfortunately, there are some Muslims who are loving Muslims, but they are in the cage of the kuffar. The kuffar control them. We are not free. Many of us, we feel we are free, we can practice our deen. Show me which Muslim in the world is free that he can go for Hajj when it is farz on him without taking a fauta. And a fauta, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, that inna shattan nasi adaban yawm al qiyamah al musawwirun. The people who will get the most severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah, those people who used to make pictures and take photos. So today if you want to go for Hajj, you've got no choice. Your picture has to be taken. And we make Toba Istighfar for that. But you have to. So which Muslim is a free Muslim in the world that can go for Hajj without his picture being taken for his passport, for his visa, etc. So there are few Muslims, they are living, but they are also in the cage of the kuffar. And then the third, there is that giant which is out in the jungle, free. Going to interfere with that life. There's a small baby, that small child, going to take your knife and poke it in the eyes of that lion. Or try and cut his tail off, see what will happen to you. So that were the Muslims, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were such Muslims that Islam, they were living and they practiced Islam freely. No obligation to anyone whatsoever. They were the servants of Allah and they served Allah only. And that is what we have to try and bring. We are very, very far from that. But we must try. Keep it in our niyat and our intention that is where we have to reach. And that we also can become the free Muslims that can live Islam freely. One such Muslim, one Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, will be enough for the whole world. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Khan Delhi rahmatullah alayh was the second Amir of Tabligh Jamaat. He said that what I'm making effort for is to get 313 people like Ashabi Badr,
the Sahaba who took part in the Battle of Badr. That he said that a hard and so hard, I haven't still got one such person. If we can develop one, a few such people who had that iman of the people of Badr, Allahu Akbar, Islam was spreading the world. Those Muslims were small in number, and the Roman Empire 200,000 strong. Nothing they could do. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I myself alone am enough for them. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, take 60 people with you. And then he increased his number a little, but he said, I don't need so much. Like for example, if you have 2,000 sheep, one slaughterer is enough for the 2,000 sheep. If that slaughterer has got his life and he is a slaughterer, by the morning on the day of Bakra Eid, Qurbani Eid, Eid al-Adha, you got 2,000 sheep to slaughter. You got one slaughterer, by Zahar he has slaughtered all those sheep. They couldn't do anything to him. That is if we got that. This is that Islam which Allah has taught. In the deena, this deen, this way of life, in the Wahi al-Islam, is the way of Islam. Also here one very important point we should understand, that this ayat is the ayat of the Qur'an Sharif. Am I correct? Those who are hafiz of Qur'an. And when was the Qur'an Sharif revealed? Time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of this ayat, is it a 20th century meaning or is it a century of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Right? We can't today that we will make a modified Islam. Today we have to modify and simplify everything also. We can't modify Islam. For example, a person is getting married on Sunday morning, whatever, and he bought a pair of shoes Friday, then when he tried it on Saturday night, he saw the shoes are too tight, they are not fitting. His leg can't fit in. So what will be the right thing for him to do? To chop off his toes with him. Right? So that a fashionable shoe, I don't know what are the names of the new fashion and brand, but I must wear that shoe, so I'll chop my toes with him. I'll cut off some meat from my leg, so that the shoe fits. Is that what somebody will do? No. He will stretch the shoe. He won't wear it, he'll wear his old shoes also. But we won't wear that. So today, modern days of technology and advancement, we can't change Islam to fit us. We have to change to fit Islam. We can't change Islam and cut off little bit yet. One person went to, the person who makes tattoo, makes a lion, etc. tattoo. It's haram, it's not jai. I'm just giving an example. I'm not explaining Masai here, Masada. So he told him, I want you to make a tattoo, a lion for me here on my arm, anywhere on the body. So the person came, he took his needle and he pricked, he paints, he jumped. Oh, what are you doing? I'm making the tail of the lion. He says, but it's very, very painful. You can have a lion without a tail also, without the tail. That doesn't mean you can have a lion without the tail. He says, no problem, he wants his money. So we do it, we make a lion without the tail. So he pricked him again he jumped. Oh, very painful. What are you doing? I'm making the ear of the lion. Oh, it's too painful. You can't have a lion without the ear. So, okay, left that out also, lion with one ear. He pricked him again for the other ear. Again painful. He said, no, too painful. So what lion you going to have? Everything is painful for you. What lion you going to have? Today we say that you must get up for Fajr Salah. Oh, it's too difficult. I can be a Muslim without Fajr. If I don't make Subah for Fajr Salah, who say I'm not a Muslim? I'm still a Muslim. I believe La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So you cut out Fajr also. Isha is too late. Zuhar, you are too hungry. Asr, you are too busy. So, but I can be a Muslim without Salah. And if I don't wear Islamic appearance dress, who say I'm not a Muslim? But Islam is in my heart. So outside you don't look like a Muslim, you don't practice like a Muslim, so what kind of Muslim is going to be there?
If we don't want to take this little pain, and it's not a pain, it's just a matter of getting used to. For that, try and go out in Jamaat when we get the chance. Jamaats come here, try and spend 10 days, 40 days with them. Try and go to some of the Ahlullah, the Awliya, Mashayikh. Stay in their company. We will see how easy, it's not difficult. And that pricking of the needle will become enjoyment. For you to get up, forget for further, the hajjud will become easy for you. And the sins which are so enjoyable to us today, sins will become very detestable. We will hate sins. And to do the righteous things which are very, very hard for us, they won't only become easy, they will become practical and they will become enjoyable, the right things also. After all, presently now in the whole world, how many people who are practicing proper Islam? Whether it is in Europe, whether it is in America, whether it is in Arab countries, whether it is in Eastern countries, whether it is Russia or China, the whole world, there are those people who are practicing Islam from morning to night. From birth to death they are practicing Islam. So it has become easy and they find it very hard not to practice on any one point of Islam. To give it up is very hard. So this is that this deen which Allah wants, which is acceptable to Allah Ta'ala, is the deen which Allah gave to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not a new modern deen of Islam. Like for example, the Americans want they mistake out all jihad ayats from the Quran, for example. They've got their view that men and women are equal, that women mustn't wear niqab, the laws of France, etc. They don't want men to keep beards, etc. That Islam is not what the Islam is, Quran is speaking about. Islam is speaking of that Islam, Quran is speaking of that Islam which was given to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that Islam gave benefit to the Muslims of the world. نَحْنُ which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu declared, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation whom Allah ta'ala has given honor through Islam. That means our honor is by Islam. But today we feel my respect and my honor is because of the business I'm doing, or because of kind of car I drive, or the kind of house I live in. If the house is giving you honor, and your honor and respect is because you've got a double story, triple story house, you've got a house with 6 bedrooms, 8, 10 bedrooms, if that is giving you honor that he lives in a very big house, then understand, in that house there is a mouse also. Kyuha bhi hai. And that mouse is staying free of charge. He doesn't pay boarding and lodging. Hey, you have to pay water and lights. You have one window break, you must fix it up. And the mouse stays free, he doesn't do anything whatsoever. And the mouse gets ready food. When all are gone to sleep at night, he comes out and he looks for his food. And he picks and chooses what he wants to eat. So if respect is because of the house, then the Mr. Mouse also you must respect him. And you must take his hand and shake it. Mr. Mouse, I respect you. You stay in a double story house. You stay in a triple story house. Your insan ki izzat in Jesus and in India. Our respect is not by these material things. If your respect is because of the car that you are driving a Rolls Royce, a Ferrari, a Porsche, and because of that, I'm Mr. So and So, I'm Mr. Big Man. In that car, you got a fly also. And the fly is staying in that car free of charge. Doesn't have to put petrol also. Doesn't have to worry about the tires. They are worn out, I must put new tires. Doesn't have to worry of service. It travels free of charge. And you must work for the fly. So if your respect is because of the car, then respect the fly also. Those things are not things of respect. Respect are the qualities which are inside the person. And the greatest quality is the quality of Iman, this Islam. And Alhamdulillah, no matter how much shukr each one of us makes, we are recitals of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. By that is the value of this person. If in the world there is a person who doesn't rule the world, he owns the whole world. The whole world belongs to him, he is Malik. And all the buildings belong to him, all the cars, the aeroplanes, the ships, all the women belong to him. It's his personal possession. And he's got such good health and a long life also Allah gave him. Qarun ruled for 400 years without even a headache. If a person got all this, but he hasn't got one aota, one stitch of iman, he is totally useless. And on the other hand, if there is a person like us here sitting here, me and you, you own nothing in the world. You may be the most sick person in the world. You got all debts upon you. You got no family, you got nothing. But you only got one stitch of iman, just La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You haven't even got namaz, salat in your life. You haven't got anything else. You only got La ilaha illallah. You are billion times more valuable than that person who's got everything in the world. The value of iman. And this is the starting point. And iman starts from La ilaha illallah. And it goes right up until the time comes when Islam rules the whole world. Till then we have to read. Islam is not only five times namaz. Islam is not only fasting in the month of Ramadan. Islam is not only that I made hajj and I'm a haji and a double haji and a triple haji also. Islam is the end of it will be where the Sahaba took Islam to and they ruled the whole world at that time. So we must take shukr. We have got the beginning for a point. And now each one of us see, as we go up the graph, we go up the ladder, till where is my Islam? And till where it is, make shukr to Allah. And then push it on further. We have to become better Muslims also. If I am making only Juma Salat in the week, now increase it, make your Maghrib every day also. I'm only making my Maghrib, increase it, make your Isha also. So slowly, slowly, in fact, if you've got the strength, then do it at once. But otherwise, gradually. Bring the whole of Islam. And that's so much so that even our appearance is like Islam. For example, I'll try and understand this point. I'll try my best to explain it as best I can. One great kitab of hadith, Mishkat Sharif, Mishkat al-Masabih. The very first hadith in here is that the hadith of Jibreel, which Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a student, Mal Islam, what is Islam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam is namaz, salat, fasting, roda, zakat, hajj, etc. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Sadaqta. Yes, you get the correct answer. It's a lengthy thing I want to discuss that hadith so much at this time. What I want to show from there, that Islam was explained to be the outward amal of Islam. Salat, fasting, saum, zakat, hajj, all the outward actions, this is what is Islam. In the same kitab of Mishkat Sharif, in kitab al-Rifaq, we read another hadith there. And it seems to be contrary, but it is that I will try to explain. But understand it. One is that hadith. That Islam is, what is Islam? Your salat, the outward exposition of our prayers, fasting, zakat, hajj. In this hadith it comes that when a person will be presented by Allah on the day of Qiyamah, then he was a regular musalli, he was making his salat regularly. So salat will come in his defense on the court of Allah. And salat will say, Ana salat, I am salat. And he used to perform me regularly. And oh Allah, I'm your command. You commanded the person must make salah. And you love salah. Allah loves salah very greatly. And especially with jamaat, what to say then? And especially in this rural place that you are making salah, it has got great, great value by Allah Ta'ala. So Allah will say, yes salah, I do accept, you are right. But Allah won't accept the intercession of salah on behalf of that person. Similarly, his fasting will come. His zakat will come, his hajj will come, everything Allah will say, you are right, I know, I accept what you are saying, but your intercession, I'm still not accepting that on behalf of you. Then Islam will come, and Islam will say, Ana Islam, I am Salah, I am Islam, and I give salamati. Allah will say, yes, yes, Islam, you are the one. Because of you now, I will accept his salat also, I will accept his psalm and fasting also, I will accept his zakat also, I will accept his hajj also. So here in this hadith we see that Islam and salat, psalm, hajj, etc., zakat are two separate things. So from here, practically, to explain it, is that we find there are many people, one person I knew myself, very, very pious person, used to make tahajjud also, but he used to wear suit and tie, he used to wear a topi also, kufiya, but suit and tie also. So anyway, very, very, very pious person also. Later on in his life, mashallah, when he started wearing Islamic dresses, he was dressed like a Muslim, he was a lawyer. So, and I know of one lady also, who was also extremely pious. She doesn't miss her tahajjud, she doesn't miss her fasting of Monday and Thursday, nafil roza, she doesn't miss that also, but her dressing, totally Western style. Totally Western style. So this is the thing, that a person might be performing his salah, his fasting, is doing everything, but he hasn't got an Islamic lifestyle. Then on the day of Qiyamah, these things on their own are not going to be able to get him through and save him on the day of Qiyamah. Until Islamic lifestyle is also there. So this is what I would like to emphasize on our brothers, where mashallah, we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. And Allah increase us all the time. We are performing our salah. Some are doing one time a week, some are doing one time a day, some are doing two times a day. Whatever our condition is, improve. Some of us, we are Muslims. But in the appearance, there isn't Islam. So bring Islam in your appearance also. Your dressing also. This is what is required. Inna deena inda Allahi Islam. The deen is the way of life which Allah is going to accept is that complete way of life of submission to Allah. From morning till night, from birth to death, from your head to your toe, everywhere you accept Islam. The example, if we are not practicing upon Islam outwardly, we are making our salah. Many of us also say that my Islam is in my heart and I don't have to show the people that I got Islam. You tell somebody keep a beard, proper full sunnah beard. He said, I don't have to show the people I'm a Muslim, wear a kufiya topi. He said, I don't have to show the people, my Islam is in my heart. So if that is the case, then in your heart, then you got enough problems. Okay? In your heart you got angina, in your heart you got cholesterol, you got blocked arteries, in your heart you got all, and you're putting your beard also in your heart. Take your beard out of the heart and put it on the right place. Hey, why are you keeping the beard in the heart? Hey, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, if Saudi Airlines landed, yeah, for example, at Odangwa Airport, Haji stayed whole plane load, and the captain and all the crew are all Muslims also. So the captain announces before they landing, in 10 minutes time we're going to be landing. And we got the best wheels in the world. No airlines, no aeroplane got the wheels that we got. We are the best in the world. And we don't have to show the people of the world we got wheels. So when we're going to land, we're not going to take out the wheels. We'll keep that inside. Yeah, everyone will say, Hazrat Captain sir, please, at this moment your ikhlas, leave it for tahajjud. Leave it for Makkah Sharif. But yeah, make riya. Take out your wheels. So the same way, our beards, don't keep them in the heart. When it has to come out, bring it out also. Show it also. Bring it and show that this is our Islam, that we are Muslims. And don't be shy to show that you are Muslims. Be not proud in the sense of pride, but proud in the sense of shukr that I am a Muslim. Don't be shy for that also. And together with that, show good akhlaq and character to all the we are mixing with non-Muslims every time. We are working with them. When we drive, many other drivers are not Muslim. So show that you are a Muslim and be courteous also. Give them right of way also. Don't be an aggressive driver. We will see that all these people who got beards, who are Muslims like that, they are very courteous. And when somebody wants to cross, you give him way. You are going with a whole line of cars and somebody wants to come from the side, he can't because so many cars are going. You just give him little space, he'll greet you. But he's the bearded man. He's the Muslim people who got this. So share that Islam and have Islamic akhlaq and adab also. We'll see how many times, many times we got so much food that we can't finish. And there are so many poor people who haven't seen food. So even if just our leftovers, pack it nicely, give it to someone. For example, you are traveling by aeroplane, you don't eat the food on the aeroplane. Take that food. And then when you meet somebody, a poor person, yeah, here's a parcel of food for you. How happy won't he be? And he sees that you are like a Muslim, he can see you. These Muslim people, then they won't spread all the false propaganda they are trying to make, that all Muslims are terrorists. And all Muslims are, they only know about killing and about blood. They say, no, we can see that these are Muslims who are good people. They are kind people. They are thoughtful. And really, without any exaggeration, it is happening so much in the world. There are Muslims, and Muslims are doing these good things. So have that Islam, show that we are Muslims also. And then inshallah, and our character also. I was in France at one time. One of our students is there also. We were staying at his house, and one day we were leaving his house to go for some program. So a French woman, white woman, opposite the road, from that time she greeted. We also greeted her, and we went away. Then he told me her whole story. She was so anti-Muslim, she hated the Muslims. So much so, illegally, she had a yellow line drawn in front on the road, so that the Muslims doesn't park there. Friday, Juma, lot of people come, and no parking place. So she had a yellow line drawn that they mustn't even park there. Her husband became ill. He became sick, he went to hospital. And this is a very, this friend, the student of ours, I can't believe what akhlaq Allah has given him. He is a black person, but mashallah, his ilm, his Arabic, his khidmat of deen, his akhlaq, oh, he's somebody just different. So he took food for that husband for the hospital. He went and give it to the woman. When you go to the hospital, but to see your husband, he has some food, you must give him food. She said, I can't accept it. He said, why you can't accept it? He said, I don't know, perhaps he put a bomb there. Hey, this is how their minds are, that Muslims only know about bombs and that. So anyway, she told her husband about it. Husband said, no, bring that food, I will eat it. I know these people. These people are not like that. She said that this was the time of the first Iraq war, of Bush and Saddam Hussein. So he said, her husband told, he said, why have America gone to Iraq? They haven't gone there to do anything else besides they want the oil from Iraq. And she said, and then her left, and she told at that time that there won't be peace in the world until there is one Muslim alive. We have to finish every Muslim, only there can be peace. But then her whole life changed, and she was close to accepting Islam also. Now, before she wouldn't even look at him, but she greeted him also. So this is by our akhlaq and our character. And we are all the time mixing with non-Muslims. Make our appearance like Muslim and show them what Muslim akhlaq has got, what Muslim character has got, etc. And also don't be afraid. Stay with our mashallah, our sheikh, learn our deen from them also. And then if your woman folk are with, let them also dress according to Islam. Hey, their face covered. They're going to ask questions naturally. Why this woman is like this? Why her face is covered? So get the answers and you explain to them. And how many people have accepted Islam just because the woman covered their face? I'll give you just one instance. We were in France also at one time. And one Arab girl who was a cashier in a supermarket. So her in her line, or her customers that came, there were quite a few customers. One woman was with niqab also. And this was the time when the French government had banned, you cannot wear niqab. But she wore it, and she was in the line. When she came to pay, then this Arab girl told her that, why you are causing us problems? The government don't want us to have niqab, so remove it. And if you want to wear niqab, go to your own country. You come from Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, whichever country you come, will practice Islam, yeah. But yeah, what the government wants you to do, do that. Don't listen to, don't do what Islam says, do what the government says. So that girl in front of the cashier picked up her niqab. And she was a French woman, not a Algerian woman, not a Moroccan woman, not a Pakistani woman. She was a French woman. And what she told her, that you people sold your deen, we bought you. And today, really, the problem in the world is nothing more that Islam is spreading like wildfire. There in France, Then we went to one masjid which is held by French Muslims, born French Muslims. Not reverse they are. Not Algerian Muslims or Tunisian or Egyptian Muslims. They are local French people and they running the masjid and the madrasa. And my wife was with, she stayed with the women folk, and the woman also properly Islam from morning till night, from head to toe, proper Islam. Not like us, half we do. When we feel like we do something, we don't feel like we don't do something. We are proper Muslims, and this is causing the stir. Islam is spreading. Make our share in there. So my respected elders and brothers, this is that Islam which Allah wants from us. That Islam which was in the time of Nabi Ali Salam. We are far from there. But let us make effort. And everyone according to his, how much he can manage, it will improve. Isn't it that our car, if we are driving a car of 2000, we want to upgrade it, we want to trade it in. We want a car of 2010. So if we can afford it, we buy a car of 2015. How much we can afford? We will try and go up all the time. If we got a one bedroom house and we can afford, we have to upgrade. I must get a two bedroom house. I must stay in a better area now. I must get a three bedroom house. Everything we have to upgrade. Upgrade our deen also. Don't just indeed be complacent. That what we got, I'm making for 20 years, I'm only making Juma Salat. And we still just stay in there at Juma Salat. No, improve it. Try and bring Maghrib in your life. Try, you are doing one Salat every day. Try and make it two Salats every day. When I come to masjid, I wear Islamic dresses. I got my jumpa on, I got my kufiya, my topi on. So try and improve that. On other times also, try and bring that proper deen which Allah has given us. And without any doubt, our respect and honor is not in university degrees. It's not in big houses. It's not in big money. Our respect and honor is in Islam. Just like I explained, that rice, that stones that are with it. If we have sunnahs, we are the stones. But we bring the sunnahs, Islamic lifestyle. Allah will look after us at the price of Islam. Allah will look after us at the price of sunnah. And then we won't be like the stones that are thrown out, etc. So may Allah Ta'ala let us understand this reality of what this deen is and what a great blessing. And whatever level we are, make shukr and be firm. Even if we only got La ilaha illallah, be firm on that also. But don't just remain there, try and go up all the time. For that, alhamdulillah, jamaats come from time to time. Tabligh jamaats, take part with them. Try and go out, make their nusrat, help them. Wherever we can, try and serve Shaykh, help him in his work here. You got maktab here? Shaykh, you have maktab? I can't hear.
We need a small maktab.
We have a small maktab. Inshallah, we'll make it a big maktab and a jamia. Inshallah. And don't think it's difficult. See, for example, in South Africa, in about 50, 60 years ago.
Why is there a small maktab? This is a big maktab.
No, in humbleness he says small. But he's big, but because he's humble. He says small, he don't like want to boast. But we got a big man. Mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. See, in South Africa, in the town we are living, Azad, about 60 years ago, a very great Ali Mufti, Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Pakistan, Mufti of Pakistan. He visited South Africa and he was hosted by the people of Azad. The people that time 60 years ago told him, when he was leaving now, they were crying, old people. They said, Mufti Sahib, the conditions are such here that we fear our children will not even remain Muslims. So bad the conditions are, the same thing. We know what is outside in the world. Every youngster got a phone on his hand. There is corn in there. There is filth and dirt. And not only youngsters, today big people are involved. Everyone is involved in all this filth and dirt. So they were very worried of the condition. Mufti Sahib that time 60 years ago in that bad condition when there were no signs of Islam, he said, may Allah make a Darul Ulum to come in your town. And today you see Allah made it. So here also, whether it's a small maktab or a big maktab, inshallah we're going to have Darul Ulum, not only one. We have plenty in Namibia. I was telling Maulana Muhammad Zakaria also, you people are working now here and you see it's like bleak, but don't worry. You might go to your qabr, you might not see, but Allah will bring that day when, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam will spread in the whole world. Every solid house, every house filled with unbaked bricks, etc., Islam, and with the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100%. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Roman Empire, there were two parts of the Roman Empire in that time, the Eastern Empire and the Western. The Eastern Empire was what Turkey used to be, the Byzantine Empire. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they were, the Quran said, holy that in Rome, the Adli al-Arab, that in very soon, the Roman Empire is going to fall to the Muslims. And it was a vacant time for this, it's a whole, in the series of Bayan, how the Muslims, Muhammad Fatih, how he conquered Istanbul. Hey, it's a thing today that military people in the whole world, the top military men, they can't understand what the plan he was and how he conquered Istanbul, which was that time the Byzantine Empire, Constantinople, and how they conquered it. So after about 800 years, the words of the Quran proved to be true. And the word of the Quran that Islam is going to spread in the whole world, and today, without exaggeration. I will take a few minutes on this, just to explain to you how Islam is spreading. About 8 or 10 years ago, I was in Tehran, Iraq. We are actually going to Zahidan, that is where all the Sunni Muslims live. Yeah, in Tehran are all the Shias mainly, but also a big lie which they say, that the Sunni Muslims are very little. Sunni Muslims in Tehran alone are about 40%. They are not a small number, they are a big number, but they are not allowed to have one masjid also. And they are not allowed to have Jummah. The Saudis also make Jummah in the embassy. They can't do it, there is no masjid for everything. Anyway, we stayed at one brother's place, Maulana Ubaidullah, and we arrangements were made before that we are coming. So he invited some ulama and we had a program there. In his house, there are about 25 houses, there's one very great Ali, and he's working unbelievably what intelligence Allah has given him. In Tehran, the city of Tehran, he has hired about 25 good houses. At the bottom, the Ali stays with his family, everyone. And on the top, he's got a musalla and a maktab running in all these 25 places. And 4 or 5 places, they're having Jummah also. So we had a bayan at night, the ulama came. The ulama also, when they are in the house, then they dress with our Islamic dress. But when they are outside, because the government is very much against the public also, if they dress as Muslims, as Sunni, they trouble them too much. So they have to camouflage, take off the topi, and they have to wear a dress code. Then the people can't make out that they are, so they don't trouble them. Anyway, we had a program, and in the bayan, like now we have in bayan, one person I saw, he was nodding his head quite a bit, he was taking interest and he was enjoying the bayan. So then we had tea after that. So I asked, who is this brother? So they say he was a Shia, he became a Muslim. So I was very surprised. I said, this. They said, nothing to be surprised. Lot of the Shias are becoming Muslims. They are tired of their religion and they realize that it is no religion, and Islam, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the true religion. The next day, we were going to the airport to go to this place, Zahidan, the local airport. When we came outside, I told Manana, you said that lot of people come for Jummah and you are living in a residential area, no parking place, I'm sure all your neighbors complain. All that, that whole top thing gets full with all the Muslims. So when so many people come, so many cars, they must be parking everywhere and the people must be complaining. So he said, these people, they are tired of their religion and they got good akhlaq. And they don't complain, they don't mind whatsoever, as long as we don't park in such a way to obstruct them when they want to come out or go in from the house, etc. Then we went to Zahidan, the place which is on the border of Pakistan, where there are majority Muslims. And the first thing they took me to show me, it was a Thursday afternoon, was the Eidgah, where they make namaz in an Eidgah. It was so big that you couldn't go walking, you had to go by car. So big it was. And then they told me that there are
200,000 people sitting that evening. And the annual madrasa jalsa, Darul Uloom jalsa, they have also in the same place. And now the place has become too small for them. And they are looking for a bigger place. And then we went to the Tablighi Markaz. It was Friday night with Shab-e-Jumah. When we went there, we made Maghrib there. And this masjid here of yours, easily 20 or 30 times more bigger than Markaz. And already we saw with our eyes, just 5 meters away from there, they built another masjid, double the size of that masjid. They said that was too small for a problem. After we made Maghrib, we went to the Darul Uloom. And without exaggeration, when we went into the gates of the Darul Uloom, it looked like that we are entering a separate city of its own. Such a big Darul Uloom. And adjacent to it, a big Darul Uloom for girls also. So this is what we don't know about in Iran, where Islam, our Islam, Sunni Islam, is so strong. Then for example, after that we came home. When we came home, it was just before Eid al-Adha, so Qurbani Eid. So our whole family, we got together at my one brother-in-law's place. And he explained to us that in the last 6 weeks, quite a few Hindus of his town, Rudipur, and of the Azadgarh, which is about 15 kilometers away, our town. He said about 6-8 Hindus had died. And each one made this wasiyat, and he gave this announcement before he died, I'm a Muslim since so many years. When I die, bury me as a Muslim. Give me a ghusl kafan and bury me in a Muslim Qabristan. Islam is spreading like this. Yeah, in Chipata, in Zambia, I just mentioned a few. And these are realities which are happening now. In Chipata, there was one chief who was in charge of 200 villages under him. Black men, non-Muslim, 200 villages. He became Muslim. So the Asian Muslims in the town of Chipata, when they came to know, they were surprised that how come he became Muslim? What made him become a Muslim? No Tabligh Jamaat went to him, no Alana went to him. When they went and visit him, he was a university graduate, he had studied a lot and he used to read a lot of books. So he said that I read a lot of books and then the Quran came in my head. I started reading the Quran Sharif also, he reads a lot, he likes to read. And when I started reading, this book was different from all the books. Different subject, different kitab, different book, translation. And then he said, now when I became interested, I wanted to know who is the author of the book. So I closed the book and I look on the cover, no author's name. I looked on the side, no author's name. I looked at the back, the blurb, which is written, what this book, somebody tells you, this book is about, no author's name. Then I realized when I read the subject matter, the author is Rabbul Alam. Khaliqus Samawati wal Ard, Allah Rabbul Izzah. And the second reason he gave why he accepted Islam, he said, I read a lot, and lot of Christian Bibles also I read. But I say, every Bible, wherever it was printed, whenever it was printed, there is difference, it's not the same. But Quran I see, wherever it was printed, whenever it was printed, not one zabar zeh, one haraka, the difference in the whole Quran, it is the same. And he went to his 200 villages, and he told them, I have accepted Islam. If you people, if don't accept Islam, I'm not your chief after today. They all accepted. Really, there are many, many instances, I can go on for a long while, how Islam is spreading. So we also, let us become strong Muslims, let us become ambassadors of Islam, and let us propagate Islam. Bring Islam from into us, into our children, from La ilaha illallah, right through till the top. As much as we can reach, try and do as much as we can. Nobody is perfect, nobody is 100%, but let us try our best. وَأَجْرُكُمْ أَلَّ اللَّهُ أَلَّهُ وَالْرِوَاقُ فَرِدِ الْآخِرَ. May Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshaAllah. Any questions or any suggestions? Right, Faisal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Imam. InshaAllah we are around, if anyone... Tomorrow inshaAllah after Fajr also we'll have a short program. One moment. We'll be here for Fajr. Inshallah, we'll have a short program after Fajr also. And try and come, inshallah. And also another thing, today, alhamdulillah, everyone knew that people are coming, so you can all come also. But
otherwise,
try and come. If we are staying very far, but still try and make your salah. And we make it with jama'at. 3-4 people together. Make it together. If we make it on our own, 1-2 days we get lazy. Then our namaz, salah comes. So try and make it. And when we stay, as much as possible, try and come to the masjid. Keep the masjid alive. Keep it abad. Keep it alive. From here, this is the focal point where Allah's rahmat descends. And then it will go to our businesses. It will go to our homes. We'll have security. We'll have peace. We'll have barakah. If we keep Allah's house alive, He will keep our homes alive. He will keep our businesses alive. So let us try always work to keep the masajid alive. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. والسلام على المرسلين.